Congress also this week begins deliberating a massive energy bill that has been 3 years in the making but gained more importance after last summer's blackout. While the bill includes some provisions to reduce the risk of future power failures, it delays an overhaul of the electric industry sought by federal regulators. The bill is a broad array of energy projects and provisions, coupled with more than $20 billion in tax incentives. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold joins me now. Every few years, Congress sets out to pass a comprehensive bill to address the nation's most troubling energy needs. Will this bill get bogged down in special interest provisions?
Well, even industry is saying it's not a national energy strategy or policy, Bob. It's not a real blueprint for solving the big energy problems that the country faces. It's a little of this and a little of that, which is the tradition of energy legislation, because it's just too big a task for one bill and there are too many people involved. Senator Pete Domenici, chairman of the Energy Committee, who's been immersed in this process, said the other day, "We can't do what can't be done." In short, everybody wants something in or out of this bill, and this is the best they could do, Domenici says, with any hope of passing it at the end of the day. For example, drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, an administration must, is not in this bill. Domenici knew he didn't have the votes to pass it, and it would have appealed off support for other positions to even try. Alaska's other big energy project is in the bill, but not in the form the industry had hoped. The bill provides $18 billion in loan guarantees for a natural gas pipeline, but not a price-related tax credit that producers said they needed to get the project going. So while there's a little something in it for just about every corner of the country, Bob, the bill's far from a cohesive policy, and it doesn't make anyone entirely happy.
What about the goal of reducing reliance on foreign oil?
Well, that's kind of a tall order given where most of the world's oil is located, but it's always the ultimate goal. Again, Bob, there are steps in this bill, but nothing so dramatic that it would really slow dependence. In a variety of ways, the bill tries to jumpstart the domestic oil and gas industry, tax breaks to drillers pumping from marginally producing wells, expedited deadlines for government agencies to process new permits to drill. So there's really an attempt in the bill to boost production in the western states, and there are tax breaks for construction of coal and nuclear power plants and a whole array of tax incentives for energy efficiencies, from homes to hybrid cars to even energy-efficient traffic lights. But it doesn't add up to a significant dent on the consumption side or a significant boost in terms of the production side. The big stuff, whether it's developing a major new oil field in Alaska or, on the other hand, requiring Detroit to make more fuel-efficient cars and trucks, that's been avoided. And Domenici and others say that's because there's no political will.
Is that what happened to the goal of fixing the fragmented power grid system?
Exactly. Some utility officials and regulators had hoped for a federal plan that would require utilities to adopt a national grid design and turn over operation of the grids to regional managers. That was put on hold.
Democrats got their first look at this bill over the weekend when it was released. Why would they be in any rush to approve it?
Republicans decided early on they were going to write this thing by themselves, and that's what they did behind closed doors. But that given the blackout and tensions over oil, Democrats would be hard-pressed to oppose it. They could so easily be labeled obstructionists, and you've heard all that before. But it's questionable whether they can make that stick and whether even Republicans will support the bill. The other plan was to put enough sweeteners in there, for example, new markets for ethanol, to make it hard to vote against. But again, you know, that's really the problem with these omnibus bills. The overall goal of a comprehensive policy gets lost in the attempt to win votes and appeal to often conflicting political and regional interests.
NPR's Elizabeth Arnold.